Mitch McConnell is a man that knows less about Russia and Russian influence than even Donald Trump. And I know nothing. So I think it's a horrible thing when a paper, which is really just a paper for the benefit of Amazon, the Washington Post, is fake news, just like the New York Times is fake news. It's put there for the benefit, the Washington Post, of Amazon. That's my opinion.
I'd like to apologize to the president, because I say he lies all the time. He told the truth there. He said, I know nothing. You know, you got to get credit for that. That music means one thing. Our friend Chuck Todd joins us now. Don't forget MTP Daily at 4 o'clock our time on MSNBC and Meet the Press every Sunday morning. Morning, Chuck.
Well, good morning, Mr. Cochran.
So, Chuck, this talk, this constant harangue about reinforcing the base, these people aren't going anywhere. So why reinforce a base that isn't going to go anywhere?
Are you referring to the Democrats or the Republicans right now? Because I
could be both, couldn't it?
I was just going to say, you could. That is a total Rorschach test, sort of. Let me test Chuck to see where his head is. Is it in Trump land or Biden land? Because you can, in different ways, that question has meaning with both. I guess the question is going from the Trump angle. I think he puts more importance into his base than anybody else does. But if you're him, and as much as I think he overrates the importance of his base, and I think he's doing it at his focus on what he thinks his base likes and cares about only hurts him in a general. The problem is his experience says otherwise. And one of the things that I always remind people about American politics. Which is why which is actually to me one of the best parts of it is, as logical and analytical as you can make it, you can't. There are some things that are just that you can't sort of control for. And politicians are human beings. And at the end of the day, every politician that runs for president always assumes that the way they won whatever race they won the first time is the way to run the race.
Right.
And so with Trump, he's had one experience, 2016. So how he won that race, in his head, is how you win all races. I think that's why he keeps doing that.
Yeah, and I would say there's also a psychological constant need for affirmation amongst the group that actually affirms him. So,
Well, that's also true, right. A narcissist desperately always needs to be told how great they are. And obviously, the more this space does that for him, the more he'll do it for them.
So last night, watching the clown car that is the 20 Democrats running for president now, Biden still appears to be driving and appears to be the grown-up in the room for the most part. But what upside do the Democrats have for ripping on Barack Obama? Regardless how you feel about Barack Obama, if you're a Democrat, he's still pretty popular, isn't he?
I agree with you that Biden is still driving the car, but it does feel like the left turn signal. He just never knows when to turn off. Thank you very much.
You should use that. You should use that today at 4.
I could, couldn't I? Yeah. Every Biden answer last night, you sat there and you just wondered, is he going to make it through it? And he'd make it through and you'd be like, oh, okay. All right. That Biden is good enough. And that was what he was last night. He would survive. A few times thrive. I mean, you know, he basically sent Gillibrand packing. So there were a few times where he actually thrived, but he just survived. Look, we are in a new phase of the campaign. Phase one was your announcement. Phase two is sort of putting down your tent poles of what kind of candidacy you want to be. And we started sorting the tiers. We are now in the beginning of phase three. Last night was the end of the beginning. That's a cliche a lot of people beat up. So we are at the end of the beginning. We are now in this phase, the long campaign. And this is going to be what you saw last night. We will now see on the trail. We will now see in releases. You will see oppo dumps all the time. We are now in this sort of grinded out campaign with a heavier focus on race, because the single most important voting block for everybody trying to get this nomination is African-American voters. And as long as Joe Biden's a front runner, that's why he's going to get more incoming on racial issues. because everybody chasing him desperately needs the chunk of African American vote he now holds.
Speaking of the racial question, commander in racism is Donald Trump, and of course, there's been a lot of talk too about his policy and his behind the scenes decision to go full on racist. Look, I stand where I stood 2 years ago. There is no policy. There is no decision. He gets up, he opens his mouth, and he starts his day. It doesn't mean he's not a racist. It's just I don't see that as a strategy meeting where they go, okay, let's go full racist, and let's see if they'll be sure to follow us then. Again, you already got him.
No. This is sort of what I would say sort of the way Nixon was racist, right? Which is, you know, those close to Nixon would say, well, he's not racist. He just thought that was a good way to win. He thought it was a political strategy. He thought many of his people were skeptical on race or things like that. That's how Trump would try to analytically explain it. Like, you know, I'm not that, but some of my people, you know, yeah, it's very Nixonian. And I think how he goes about it a little bit. I agree with you that on one hand, it comes naturally to him, right? And the fact of the matter is his entire adult life, he has been on the wrong side of racial issues, whether it was the 74 Justice Department, you know, issue of racial discrimination with what he did, with what he and his father did and how they ran their company, to the Central Park Five, to the birtherism. Anyway, I mean, there is a through line here. So he clearly has a history. But I do believe he thinks it's a good, that it is always, I think he believes it's been a good way for him to differentiate himself whenever necessary, to brand himself, whatever you want to call it. He's always believed his people, that this is his way of saying he knows his people. So while I take your point that it's not a strategy, I think he thinks it's strategic. How's that?
Throw him a Rubik's Cube, see what he can do with it. All right, look, this Baltimore story seems to have gotten very quiet very quickly. I used to live in Baltimore. You know Baltimore. It's right next door. It's got issues without question. Most major cities do. So does this story just go away now? Is this part of the pile of the former news cycles?
Let's see what happens tonight. You know, he does a rally in Cincinnati. You know, do you get this is the first rally since the send them back chants. First rally since his Baltimore screed. You know, it is interesting. Every time the president is accused of being a racist, he has to, you know, it's almost like there's sort of a standard response that he does. I'm the least racist person in the world. That's usually the first thing he says. Then it becomes, I'm not racist, you're racist, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
So, and I think yesterday he tweeted out a video that showed that Elijah Cummings once described a neighborhood as drug infested in Baltimore, you know, sort of thing. See, I'm just, you know, so I think he is going to dabble in it tonight. And if he does, that could, you know, there's a lot of gasoline out there. It doesn't take much to light that fire again. Let me just say this about Baltimore. Baltimore to me is one of these, you know, the best part of Baltimore when you visit, it's one of these cities that still has great ethnic neighborhoods.
Yep, no question.
You can get, you know, a little Italy or a Greek town, and you can get sort of like some great ethnic food. It's sort of old school. It has that what you hear about in the old, you know, of the Phillies and the New Yorks and all that stuff. Baltimore is sort of lost of the Eastern Seaboard cities. You know, it's sort of like here's this one of these great founding cities of this country that hasn't had its comeback, right? Philly's had a comeback. New York's had a comeback. D.C.'s had a comeback. You know, up and down the Eastern Seaboard, the port cities have all sort of revitalized except Baltimore. So it is a frustrating thing as somebody, you know, Baltimore, it's sort of like a sibling to D.C. You know, we're sort of one mega area, probably sort of. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like, It's a real bummer the bad leadership the city has had. But the leadership issue with the city is in city politics. It's not the best leaders have all been on the state level or on the congressional level in that city. So it is a real unfair hit on Elijah Cummings.
Yeah, and you don't have the president of the United States stand up and rip an American city the way he did, the way he's done to Chicago, the way he's done to other places.
I don't understand why he attacks fellow Americans so easily.
Right.
And why this is so tolerated by the American public. It is the president of the United States. I mean, we would We would be shocked if the president of another country trashed his own country, right? It would be this president trashes a fellow American and parts of this country. I mean, he really has made it clear he's the president only of his people. He does not believe he's the president of the United States right. of America. He's the president right. of people that agree with him. That's it. And it's tragic.
Pat Brady, before Chuck runs, you got a question?
Yeah, Chuck, I was looking at the electoral map last night. It seems like this race, months from now, is just going to come down to a really even a smaller handful of states. Do you think that still holds?
You know, it's funny you say that. I think it's five states max.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I mean, I think it's the three industrial states there, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, and then it's Arizona and Florida. I think those are your five closest states.
And Arizona's in play, right, with the Senate race?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Arizona and Florida are full-fledged. They're number four and five, you know, type of thing. They're four and five on the list. I think, you know, and frankly, I think Pennsylvania is not as competitive as the other two, as Michigan, Wisconsin. I mean, they're going to be competitive, but if I were to rate them, Wisconsin in particular, I think you're going to be on a nice edge. Michigan is tight, but Arizona and Florida too. But then after that, like, there'll be some other competitive states, like North Carolina, perhaps, and Iowa, Minnesota, and Nevada, but they all feel like another level down from those five. I think you're right. I think it's more narrow. Even more narrow than we realize of the battleground state.
That's why Biden's answer last night when he talked about what the Obama administration did for Michigan and Detroit to me was so compelling.
Oh, my God. That was his best, one of his better moments, underrated moments, because you're right. He was a reminder of how good he is at the parochial. He's good at that kind of politics.
Yep.
What have I done for you here in Michigan? That's when Biden, that's the old school Biden
yep.
that still works.
Yeah, that's what fires him up. The Nationals, you happy with what they did at the trade deadline?
You know, it's funny. The Nationals, Joe Biden to me, watching Joe Biden at a debate is like watching the Nationals bullpen. It usually performs just good enough to get them to win, keeps them in the playoff race, probably will get in the playoff. And they have all these other great attributes, but you're just like, the bullpen is like Biden's stutter, right? You're just like, oh my God, is it going to collapse? Is it going to collapse? Oh, we got through the inning. Oh, he got through the sentence. Look, more arms are more arms. I wanted one more starting pitcher. I wanted Minor out of the Rangers, but because I'm a little nervous about Scherzer and that back right now. But you know, there's only one team. There's only three teams to me that are going to win the World Series, and it's the three teams that have starting pitching: Houston, Dodgers, and I think the Nats are the only team that can compete with those other two because of their starting pitching.
And you probably meant to throw the Cubs in there for Cub fans.
I think you guys are starter short. I mean, I do. I always thought you guys would go out and get a starter. I think you're a starter short. I mean, at what point is the, John, I still can't figure out how to throw the first base Lester, not going to work for you anymore.
Right? Come on. And why aren't we running on him every single play, every other team in baseball?
They are about
every
to get
pitch.
They're about to get handles back, so that'll help them.
That should help, but I thought the Cubbies were going to go out and get a pitcher. I guess this is Joe Madden's last year, huh? If he doesn't get to is it a World Series? And they fire him or what?
Well, I'll tell you right now, the fact that they brought in Joe Girardi as a third string catcher should make everybody a little bit nervous.
I know.
See you on MTP Daily and Meet the Press. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, brother.
That's Chuck Todd right there.